Now, as amusing as that was for me, there actually was a point to that. Y'all want to know what the point to that was?
What was the point, bro?
Do you want to know what the point was?
Yeah. Torture.
Now, listen. Y'all didn't know this, but Barbara back there had the answers, the arrows of which one you should pick. And she was actually saying which way to pick each time. But so she was the source of wisdom. But wisdom is kind of like that. In the midst of all of the noise, that wisdom is the constant whisper of truth that you will completely miss out on if you don't intentionally pursue wisdom. And if you don't look for the sources of wisdom and truth in your life and go after them and pursue them, if we're not intentional about it, we're totally going to miss out. What do you have? Oh, yeah. Watch that down. All right, were all y'all just watching him go, or do y'all hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? So wisdom is that constant whisper of truth that you have to be intentional about looking for and listening carefully for. And we have voices of truth in our lives. We have to look for them. We have to hunt them. That's why I said here that in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, 13 through 17, that wisdom is hidden treasure, that you actually have to go looking for it. It's not always going to be up in your face saying, here I am, this is the right choice. It'll be like, do what you need to do. You know, you got to tune in and go and pursue truth and wisdom. So go ahead and grab your Bibles. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9.
Your sword, master.
Verse 13. Guys, before we start reading this, hey, look up here. I know you know this, but sometimes it helps just to say it again anyway.
So you don't kill us.
Okay, so I don't know if you know this, but Jesus is real. Like, he's so... This might feel like just a normal day, like any other day, any other Wednesday night, but listen, Jesus is real. That's not just something we say and just something we read about. He's real, and he's here. And he wants to give you his mind and his heart. He wants to give you wisdom. So let's take just a minute and tune in to his voice right now. And y'all pray with me. Just ask the Lord to take every distraction from what's happened to you this week or today and just push it aside. Go ahead and ask him that. Now tell him, Jesus, I believe you're real and I want to hear from you right now. Ask him to speak to your heart through the Bible right now. We're here for you, Lord Jesus, and I pray that it would be all your words and not mine right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 13. He says, I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. So he saw something that showed him wisdom. What is it that he saw? There was once a small city with only a few people in it. and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, built huge siege works against it. So just from what we read so far, who do you think's going to win?
King.
That big, powerful king, right? That's what you would think is going to happen. This little town's just going to get squished. But look what it says in verse 15. Now there lived in that city, that tiny city, a man poor but wise. And he saved the city by his wisdom. And I don't know how he did that, but isn't that, it's kind of fun to imagine. What did he do? Did he tell the leaders in his little town, like, we need to lure them into this, like, hidden waterway and let them discover that and then make it collapse down on top of them, or get them up close to this wall and knock the wall down on top of them, or what did they do? I don't know what they did, but there was some sort of clever strategic idea that came from his wisdom that allowed them to do the unthinkable, that this tiny little David would beat this Goliath of a king that was about to squash this tiny town. So the point is, I don't know how he did it, but he wins. And why is it that we think there's no... Why is it that we... I said, what do you think is going to happen when we all thought the king's going to win? Why did we think that?
He's strong and powerful.
Because he's strong and powerful. We usually think that the ones that are big and powerful are going to win. It's like... did any of you see this? Remember the ogres are on the fire in the Hobbit movie? And they were about to eat all the little hobbits, and then the one hobbit who was poor but wise, he started talking to him and said, wait, before you eat them, how are you going to season them? And got them talking and distracted them and got them just long enough for the other good guys to come in and rescue them, right? So by his wisdom, he overcame the muscle, you see? Can you think of other examples, biblically, where the unlikely hero beats the big foe?
Gideon,
yeah. What else?
Ehud,
the dude. What else?
David
and Goliath, right? Somebody said Daniel, yeah? Mm-hmm. All these little guys that the Lord uses and says, if you'll be in tune to me, my heart and my mind, my wisdom, my strength, you can do anything. You can be anybody. So, you would think that in this little story that showed him wisdom, that the small village and the wise old man who came up with this idea, you would think this guy's probably famous now, that everybody had this big parade and made him king or whatever of this tiny village, and that he's famous, right? You would think that. But look at the last part of verse 15. It says, but nobody remembered that poor man. Why is it that nobody remembered him after this great victory? Because he's poor. Why else? Why do you think they... Why don't they remember him?
They got distracted with other things.
Okay, yeah. Got distracted. What do you think about, what might it be about this wise man's character that might contribute to them forgetting about him?
Humble?
Yeah, he's probably humble, right? And usually people that are humble aren't like, hey, look at me! Remember that thing I did? How much money are you going to give me? You know, he's like, he's not doing it for the attention. He's just being wise and following the Lord and doing what he wants, and he's going to stay in the background. And we tend to forget those people. We miss out on the small whisper of wisdom. And so here in verse 16, Solomon gives us a spiritual truth. A lot of times when you're going through the Bible, I hope you ask the questions like, first of all, what sticks out to me? And then you go a little bit deeper and you say, okay, what does this mean? What does it tell me about God? Or what's the timeless theological truth in it? And Solomon just straight up gives it to us right here. The first spiritual truth in this passage is right here in verse 16. So I said, wisdom is better than strength. That's the timeless truth. The first timeless truth here is that wisdom is better than strength. If you take a quick glance down to verse 18, it says, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Like, if you were going to go into battle and you could pick, okay, I want tons of weapons and heavy artillery from the government, or do I want wisdom? And we might sort of by reflex and instinct go, I want all the guns, you know, but if you don't know how to use them, you don't have wisdom to use them strategically, they're worthless. And it's better to have wisdom. That brains are greater than biceps. Now, not just brains like with book smarts, but a mind and heart that has scripture poured into it. That yields a wisdom that is greater than human strength. It's greater than human muscle. Psalm 27 says it like this. Y'all heard this before. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. Those are like the best that they had of human strength back in the day. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God, that He is stronger. Following the Lord and living according to wisdom gives you more power than the muscle and the might of men. If you want real strength, you have to turn to the Word of God. Okay, so there's a problem, though. Look in the middle of verse 16. He said, wisdom is better than strength, but that means there's a problem, there's a contrast here, but the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. So we already know that they despise this man's wisdom. How do we know that they despised his wisdom? Because they don't remember him. They forgot all about him. They despise him. They despise his wisdom. And why do you think they forget? We already talked about this. That it's maybe it was his humility. Because we tend, as a human race, we tend to prefer heroics over humility. Like the people that we're naturally drawn to are a lot like this guy. Who's this? This is the epitome of human awesomeness and might and strength.
Arrogance.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. Because he knows that if his source of strength and awesomeness is within himself, that's pride and arrogance. And these are the types of people that we as humans naturally are drawn to.
Plus, he's got that sweet ponytail.
Mm-hmm. I know, right?
Swag.
Now, and knowing that that's who we're naturally drawn to, it means we have to fight against that tendency, and we have to resolve to fight against that and to seek, to hunt wisdom and to heed wisdom. Yeah, God said to Samuel when he was trying to pick the next king before he picked David? Do you remember what he said? Because he kept going, oh, this guy's tall and awesome. Surely this guy.
Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart.
Yeah. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. We have to start training our hearts to look the way the Lord looks and to look at the heart. So, look at verse 17. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded. What does heeded mean?
Think about,
pay attention to. The quiet words of the wise, like Barbara back there whispering the answers, are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. It's better to listen to the quiet wisdom than the shouts of fools that are all in your face saying, this is what you need to do. So, two different voices there. The voice of the wise and the voice of the fool. So, y'all tell me which one of these represents the voice of the wise.
The right one.
And which one? And then this is the fool, right? Okay? That the fools, you've got people that are loud and telling you what's right all the time, but it's the quiet whisper of wisdom that you have to tune into and pay attention to listen to. And it's obviously easier to hear the shouts of a fool, right? And we have to fight against that and focus into wisdom. Why do you think that fools have to shout? People that, think about the loud mouths that you know. Why do they have to be so loud?
Because that's how they're brought up.
No one would listen to him otherwise?
Mm-hmm. No one would listen to him otherwise. A lot of times it's because they've got nothing really to say. They've got... So they have to overcompensate with volume to get attention, because they're not going to get it based on content, because there's no real value to what they're saying. Why don't the wise shout?
Because they're too because everyone's all too busy to focus on the loud mouth.
Okay, they're like, I'm not going to compete with that. Why else? Why do you think a wise person doesn't have to shout? Doesn't feel the need to shout?
Don't throw your pearls before swine.
Oh, yeah. So it's like, they're not going to listen to it anyway, so whoever wants to tune in to me, I'll have wisdom ready to offer. And like, I think about it. Go ahead.
Like, the people who, like, listen are, like, the ones who, like, actually be the ones who have, like, wisdom, because they'll, like, be able to hear it.
Yeah.
Over, like, the...
That's right.
The fools.
Also, think about it in terms of the wise. They're not needy. Like, sometimes people that are loud and in your face are kind of needy. They need you to listen to them to make them feel important. But the wise, they don't get their value from what other people think about them. Where do the wise get their value? From what who thinks about them?
God.
From what God thinks. So whether or not you listen to them or not, they're okay, because they know that the Lord is pleased with them. They fear God's opinion more than man's opinion. So the fact remains that we have to try harder to zero in on those quiet voices. And guys, listen. God wants to give you wisdom. He wants to give you His mind and His heart. He doesn't want you just stumbling through and trying to figure things out and going through more pain and disappointment than you have to. He wants to give you wisdom. And there's two primary places that He wants to give it to you through. First of all, you're going to get wisdom through Jesus. Look at Colossians 2:2-3. The verses before this, this is Paul speaking, and he's basically talking about how hard he's struggling and working for them. He's working so hard. Why? So that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. He wants the people that he's working for the gospel, for them to understand, and in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I love this passage. This has superlatives all over the place. Full, complete, all, that he wants them to have all this wisdom. He said, I'm working hard because I want you to have this stuff, that they may know the mystery. So it's kind of like he wants you to be able to dig and have this, find this massive treasure chest. That's the mystery of God. And you don't know what's in there, and you open that sucker up, and guess what's in there? It's Jesus. Look at it. The mystery of God, namely Christ. And guess what you get in Christ? In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I don't know if you know what personification is. Whenever you give human characteristics to something that's not human. Like wisdom. Jesus is the personification of wisdom. Jesus is wisdom in human form. And if you want wisdom, the way to get it is to snuggle up and get good and close and personal with Jesus Christ. What's a good way that you can every single day get close to Jesus?
Read the Bible.
Right there, baby. Right there. You get up close and personal to this every single day, and you're going to see Jesus. And He's going to give you the abundant riches, full riches, complete understanding, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And He's going to flood your heart and mind with His heart and mind. It comes from Jesus in here. When you spend time with this book, you're not spending time with the book. You're spending time with Jesus. But I don't want to miss the human context of this passage, because he's talking about the voices of humans in your life. So there's also humans in your life that God has given you that are treasure troves of wisdom that are all around you. There's some in this room, guys. people around you that are abundant sources of wisdom. God has given you lots of Batmans.
Without Robin.
What is Robin without Batman? He's just an idiot in tights! He needs that mentor and that wisdom and that expertise, and there, it's not like there's one Batman. There's Batmans everywhere.
What?
And God has put Batmans everywhere in your life.
Justice.
Your parents, your leaders, people that want to be your mentors and to put wisdom, the wisdom of God from the Bible into your heart. And they're here for you. Will you please ask one of your leaders? I don't care if you say, will you mentor me or will you Batman me or whatever, but can we spend some time together one-on-one to talk about the Bible and to talk about your life and to talk about Jesus? Please, go to them. Ask them. There's another example of this relationship. It's Paul and Timothy. Paul mentored and poured into Timothy. And listen to what Paul said. Listen to the book of Timothy. It says, "In these things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others." Sorry, also be qualified to teach others. So it's that idea that Paul was teaching Timothy and was giving the wisdom and mind and heart of God to Timothy, knowing that he was going to pass it on to somebody else. So I just need you to ask yourself the question, are you going to be the guy or the girl who's only going to listen to the shouts of fools for the rest of your life? Or if you're going to push that stuff away and seek out the voices, the whispering, constant flow of truth, the Batmans, the mentors that God has put around you. And there are no age limits on this. Like, y'all might think I'm ancient. Dan Marshall is a mentor to me.
No, Dan Marshall's ancient.
I don't care how old you get. I want you to always find a Paul and be a Timothy. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't care where. You have it right here in this room. Find your Paul, talk to them, and say, I want to be a Timothy. I want to get together with you and talk about the Bible and talk about Jesus. And when you go into high school, you go into college, anytime you move, you go to a new church, you start looking. Push away the loudmouths. You might have a mentor who's a loudmouth. That's okay, but y'all know what I'm saying. You weed through the foolishness and zero in and say, Lord, who's the Paul for me in this season of my life? Take 30 seconds right now. Bow your heads. And just ask the Lord, who is the Paul that you have given me? Lord Jesus, I pray that you would give my friends here the courage to approach the Pauls in their life, and that they would seek out the voice of wisdom and truth so that we can receive your mind and your heart and be changed. We don't want to just be average. We want to be like Jesus. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go to small groups.